Please do turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 88. We read it together earlier in the service. I hope you don't mind. In my notes, I've got the NIV reading, so hopefully you'll be able to follow along if you're using an ESV. But my quotes will be in the NIV. Let's just ask God for his help one more time, shall we, as we come to his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that, Lord, as you speak to us, we would be ready to hear. And, Lord, that we would be ready to respond to what you're saying to us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's a hot night, so we're not going to cover every aspect of this psalm. But we are going to spend some time tonight with this man called Heman. And Heman, the songwriter, you may have noticed from our reading, was in a dark place when he wrote this psalm. In fact, that comes out in the final words of the psalm. It says, "Darkness is my closest friend." In the Hebrew, and I think in the ESV actually, it's even starker. Darkness is the final word of the psalm. The sense of it is, my only friend is darkness. It's pretty bleak, isn't it? We're used to reading the Psalms and seeing the Psalms start off in trouble and despair, and the psalmist crying out, "Why, God, why?" And then they go through this journey that ends in faith. But this psalm doesn't seem to end like that. This psalm ends with darkness. So what are we supposed to learn from it? Well, tonight as Christians, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, we're going to see that this song is included in the Bible because it does help us to live by faith, trusting in Jesus. And if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then I'm hoping you'll see by the end at least why Heman, even as he accuses and interrogates God, why he's ultimately pointing us to the reason for faith in Jesus. So we're going to learn three lessons from this psalm tonight. And here's the first. Sometimes Christians experience deep darkness. Sometimes Christians experience deep darkness. Heman is in a really dark place. And what's true for Heman is also true for God's people generally at times. So let's just look and see how Heman describes the darkness that he is experiencing. And I think we see it in four ways here. Firstly, he feels overwhelmed. I wonder, have you ever been at the beach and you've gone in the sea and you've been caught out when you've been swimming? Maybe you've gone a bit deeper than you should, or maybe the sea was a bit rougher than you realise, and you found yourself in trouble. And maybe the waves are getting bigger. You're trying to swim as hard as you can, but you're getting tired. You're gasping for air, but as you do, another wave hits you. And if you've been in that situation, you'll know it's terrifying and it's exhausting. And that's how Heman feels. Verse 3, "I am overwhelmed with troubles." Verse 7, "You have overwhelmed me with all your waves." From every direction, Heman feels that he's facing wave after wave of trouble, and there seems to be no end to it. And I wonder tonight, do you feel like that? Maybe you feel like you've been hit by wave after wave of trouble, or maybe it's not multiple problems, maybe it's just one big problem that fills your horizon, and there seems to be no end in sight and no way out. That can be crushing, can't it? And at those times, it is difficult, if not impossible, to keep things in perspective, isn't it? The shadow of that dark cloud covers everything. And I think that's Heman's experience here. Look what he says, verse 15. "From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death." I think that's almost certainly an exaggeration. He's seeing everything in his past, everything he's ever experienced through that negative lens. He's saying to God, look, my whole life has been a disaster. When we're out of our mind with worry and fear and grief and anger, we tend to see everything, the past, the present and the future, through that lens, don't we? And that's Heman's experience. And being so overwhelmed, it's having a devastating effect on him. Verse 9, my eyes are dim with grief. His eyes are bloodshot from crying and lack of sleep. Verse 8, there's no escape. Heman is overwhelmed with trouble. And again, I wonder, do you feel like that tonight? Sometimes God's people feel overwhelmed with troubles that are bigger than they are. Heman feels overwhelmed. Here's the second thing that Heman feels. He feels abandoned. His friends have all abandoned him, it seems. That's a theme that's repeated through this psalm. Verse 8, he says, you have taken my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. And in verse 18, the first part at least, you have taken from me friend and neighbour. Suffering is hard enough, isn't it, when you've got people on your side fighting your corner. But when there's no one on your side, when you're left all alone, that's just awful. But that's Heman's experience. Again, to what degree this is just Heman's negative perspective coming through, we don't know. Sometimes we think we're alone in a situation, don't we? But it's just because we're so caught up in our own grief and despair that we can't actually see what others are doing for us. But it's also true, isn't it, that sometimes in the middle of a crisis, everyone does come running to help, but after a while, people start to drift away. And especially if things don't seem to be getting better and you don't seem to be getting happier, they look for a new project, a new situation which isn't so difficult to deal with. Whether this is just Heman's negative perspective or whether this is the full-on reality, the reality is that he feels completely alone. He feels completely abandoned by everyone around him. Again, I wonder, is that how you feel today? Maybe you don't feel that everyone's abandoned you, but maybe at the very least you think no one else understands. And you feel completely isolated, completely alone. Here's the third thing. He feels like death. Look at verses 3 to 5. He says, I am overwhelmed with trouble and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, who you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Heman feels like a spider stuck in a bath, unable to climb the walls and just waiting for the tap to be turned on. As far as he can see, there's no way out, and he's waiting to die. And that's actually why in verses 10 to 12, he makes his case to God. I don't know if you sort of saw what he was saying in verses 10 to 12, but essentially he's saying this. Look, Lord, I want to praise you, but you're killing me. So how can I praise you if you kill me? People from the grave don't praise you. He's making his case to God. But in his case, he's making it clear, I feel like I'm dying here. And you don't seem to care. And then, fourthly, and this is the worst thing of all for Heman. This is the big issue. He feels like God's abandoned him. That's really the key issue at the heart of this psalm. In fact, one writer puts it like this, some of this prayer is less a prayer, more an interrogation. And I think that really does hit the nail on the head, doesn't it? So look at verses 6 to 8. And just notice how Heman is speaking to God. Verse 6, you have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. And then look at verse 14 onwards. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbour. Darkness is my closest friend. You see, as far as Haman can tell, God has turned completely against him. Why else would all this be happening, he says. And he doesn't hold back in his accusation, does he? He says, look, you've not been there for me in the past, and you're not there for me now. And actually, the sense of those final words is this. God, darkness is a better friend than you are. I wonder, is that how you feel tonight? Maybe you wouldn't say it out loud. Maybe you don't pray like this. But deep down, this is how you feel. God's got it in for me, and there's nothing I can do. And I imagine that if you're here and you're a good, solid Christian, you want to jump in at this point, don't you? You want to grab Haman and sit him down and say, look, Haman, you've got it wrong. You know, God doesn't abandon his people. That's just simply not true. And it's not true. And we're going to come back to that later on, don't worry. But nevertheless, this is how Haman feels, isn't it? And this psalm has been included in the Bible for good reason. And I want us to think, just before we move on to the next section, I want us to think about two reasons why this psalm is in the Bible. Firstly, because it sets our expectations. If ever you have to take medication, sometimes before you take the medication, or the pharmacist gives it to you at least, they'll say to you, look, when you take this, this might make you feel a bit sick, it might make you feel a bit drowsy, it might make your fingers tingle, or something weird like that. And that's really helpful, isn't it? Because then, when you take the meds, and you start to feel drowsy, or you start to feel sick, or your fingers are tingling, you know, this is what I was told to expect. This makes sense. I think a psalm like this is so helpful because in the same way it sets our expectations. This psalm is showing us one aspect, not the whole aspect, but one aspect of the normal Christian experience. The life of faith, the life of following Jesus, isn't only filled with sunshine and happiness, but also with dark valleys. Christians can and do suffer depression. Christians do experience grief. Christians can at times feel completely overwhelmed by the painful reality of a ruined world. Faith in Jesus isn't an invisible barrier to any and every problem. And even though we've got God's Spirit in our hearts, we're still human and we can still feel like this. And that's helpful to know. Because Christian friend, if you're going through something like Haman is going through, if you're wrestling with God and maybe feeling bruised and battered, you need to understand that this isn't outside the normal experience of many others who have followed Jesus before you. It doesn't mean that your faith is a sham. And it doesn't mean that something has gone catastrophically wrong spiritually. This prayer is included in the Bible to help set our expectations. Sometimes Christians experience deep darkness, and it can feel overwhelming. That's the first reason. It sets our expectations. Here's the second. It reveals God's grace. One commentator, a guy called Derek Kidner, he puts it like this, really helpfully. He says this: the very presence of these prayers in Scripture is a witness to God's understanding. He knows how men speak when they are desperate. I think that's so helpful. One other writer, a guy called Tim Keller, he puts it like this: the very fact that God put this psalm in the Bible tells us that he identifies with people who pray like this. So does Haman get everything right? Is his perspective always correct? No, I don't think so. But Haman's desperate and he's hurting, and God can take prayers from desperate, hurting people. A psalm like this tells us that we don't have to be false with God. We don't have to force a smile when inside we're screaming. And through this psalm, then, God is showing us that we can come to him as we are, broken and feeling crushed. Again, Tim Keller puts it like this: the inclusion of this psalm in Scripture is God showing us that he's not our God because we say everything right, or because we're always happy, or because we have the right theological language to meet every situation. No, he's your God because he's a God of grace, who meets us where we are, even in the darkness of despair. That's helpful to know, isn't it? Haman feels overwhelmed. And maybe tonight you feel overwhelmed and in the deep darkness. But this psalm shows us that even in that state, we can come to God and we can be open with him. Okay. So there's the first thing that we've seen in this psalm. Sometimes Christians experience deep darkness. Here's the second thing. True faith still exists in the darkness. Now, this psalm is bleak. We've recognized that already. And yet, I think the faith of Haman is still evident. And I say that for two reasons. Firstly, this. True faith is persistent. And I think we see a persistence in Haman that demonstrates he is really a man of faith. Have you ever seen a moth in the night and it's attracted to a light bulb? Nowadays, of course, light bulbs, they're LEDs, they don't get very hot. And that's probably a good thing. But in the olden days, light bulbs got scorching hot, didn't they? And so what you would see is you'd see a little moth and it was attracted to the light. And it would go to the light and it would sit on it for a moment and then it would realise how hot it was and it would sort of fly off. And you could watch a moth, it was sort of hypnotic almost, just for hours, just going back to the light bulb, going away, coming back, going away, going back, coming back. I think that's kind of what Haman's like, isn't it here? Look at verses 1 and 2. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Verses 13 and 14. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Do you see? He feels rejected, but he keeps on coming back. Haman won't stop. And this is a sign, isn't it, of true faith. True faith wrestles with God. True faith pursues God. True faith is pouring out our hearts to God, even when he doesn't feel near. Haman feels no relief, but he's nevertheless expressing real faith. And Christian friend, if this evening you feel like Haman, you feel like you're in the darkness, then learn a lesson from him. Don't stop praying. Do what Haman does. Talk to God about it. Scream at God about it. Cry tears to God about it. Whatever you do, though, don't walk away from him. True faith pursues God in the darkness. Here's the second reason we can see faith in this psalm. True faith offers hope where there is no hope. This psalm is dark, but there's one glimmer of light. And it's there at the beginning, isn't it? Look at verses 1 and 2. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. Heman feels that God has turned against him. And yet he recognises a truth about God that cannot be denied, that even his own experience will not deny. That he's the God who saves. And notice how he addresses him. He says, Lord, it's L-O-R-D in capital letters. It's God's personal name, Yahweh. And poured into that name was everything that God's people knew about him. His love, his faithfulness, his merciful. The whole experience of God's character was bound up in that name. And Heman, it seems, even in the absolute darkness of despair, hasn't lost sight of the God he's dealing with. He is the God who saves. I think that's helpful. Because Christian friend, if you're struggling like Heman was, then like him, you need to not lose sight of the God you're dealing with either. The one that Heman describes as the God who saves is the same God. He hasn't changed. And in fact, his loving, merciful character has been shown to us most clearly in a way that Heman could never have imagined in the person of Jesus, his son. And actually, that leads us to our final lesson. Jesus went into the darkest place so that we would never have to. Heman, as we've already seen, he felt overwhelmed, isolated, close to death and abandoned by God. But as we've already said, as Bible-believing Christians, we'd want to jump in there and say, Heman, come on, you've got it wrong. Maybe you've misunderstood. God doesn't abandon his people, and that's true. And here's the reason why. God doesn't abandon his people because Jesus actually experienced everything that Heman describes in this passage so that you and I would never have to. So think it through. What does Heman experience? Well, firstly, he feels completely overwhelmed to the point of death. What did Jesus say as he faced the cross? He said to his disciples in Gethsemane, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Heman was abandoned by his friends. Jesus was abandoned by his friends. They all deserted him in his hour of need. His best mate, just moments as he was in an upstairs room in the high priest's palace being interrogated and beaten up, his best mate was downstairs saying, "I haven't got a clue who he is. I've never seen him before." Jesus was completely abandoned by his friends, wasn't he? Heman describes the waves of God's anger rolling over his heads. That's how he felt, at least. But in those hours on the cross, the waves of God's anger really did roll over the head of Jesus. As Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53 said, it was God's will to crush him. That's why Jesus on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Because yes, he was hanging on a wooden cross outside the walls of Jerusalem, but in a very real way, he was hanging in the outer darkness of hell itself. You see, Heman feels abandoned. Heman feels that God has turned against him, but Heman's perspective isn't quite right. And yet, Jesus did experience that. He experienced that so that Heman and you and I would never have to. So that even though at times we can feel like we're in the darkness, that we'll never have to experience the real outer darkness, we'll never have to feel the real abandonment of God, Because Jesus has already experienced that on our behalf. Jesus suffered to secure our salvation so that even if we experience dark times, there will always be light at the end of the tunnel. And there is light because of what Jesus has done. I had a great illustration of God's love in a children's talk last year. Think of the moon, all right? If we were standing outside and it was dark and we were looking up at the full moon, I could say to you, what shape is the moon? You'd say, well, it's round. But say we waited 5 days, 10 days, I don't know how long, 14 days, I suppose, half a month, and we went outside again and we looked at the moon, well, then we'd see a semicircle, wouldn't we, a half moon. If I was to say to you then, what shape is the moon? What would your answer be? Well, I can only see half of it, but the moon's still round. Or what if we went out and actually all we could see was the crescent moon? And I said to you, what shape is the moon? Well, you can only see that much of it, but you know the moon is still round. It's all there. You can't see it, but it's all there. We could go out when there's no moon. I could say, what shape is the moon? You say, there's no moon. No, there is a moon. You just can't see it. Heman in this psalm, he can't see the moon. But that doesn't mean the moon isn't there. He can't see the love of God. He can't see the character of God in all its fullness. But God's love remains. And God's love remains because Jesus has secured that love for us. And he has secured that love for us by going through everything that Heman experienced, but in its fullest reality. And so if you're here as one of God's people tonight, and you are like Heman, you are feeling like you're in the darkness, well then, like Heman, keep on crying out to God. And look beyond Heman's words and look to the Lord Jesus. And see that he loves you. See that he has secured your salvation. And even if you feel abandoned, you've not been. And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, well, I hope you can see that being a Christian isn't a ticket to an easy life. But it does mean that we know a love and an assurance that nothing else can offer. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be completely forgiven, so that we could know the love of God, and so that we could have the assurance of his love always. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father and our God, we pray that you would help us to look to you, Lord. Sometimes we feel like we are in the darkness. We pray that knowing that your Son experienced the true darkness for us, that, Lord, we would be able to rejoice and look to him. And Lord, that we would be able to trust in him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.